Aaron Rodgers faces his former team this weekend in the Steelers' biggest test of the season so far. Will they bounce back after a disappointing performance in Cincinnati? We'll discuss.
The Penguins are off to an unexpectedly great start. Can they sustain it throughout a long season? We'll talk to Matt Bensel from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for his take.
The Dodgers and the Blue Jays will square off in the World Series. Who wins it? And can anybody silence the Oklahoma City Thunder in the NBA this year? We'll hit a bunch of topics and our quick hitters at the end of the show. I'm Dave Herzing.
I'm Dave Glass.
I'm Bob Anderson. Stay tuned as we discuss these topics and more as we go under review.
Sponsored by Fetula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles.
On Connect FM, your only local news radio.
Welcome to Under Review for Wednesday, October 22nd. What's going on, guys?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. It's the end of the best sports month of the year.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, I'm super excited. NBA tip-off last night. I know we're going to touch on that. It's exciting time for sports right now. The World Series starts on Friday. I'm hoping that the Blue Jays can take the Dodgers down. We're going to touch on that. But yeah, exciting times.
Well, and it's almost time for Halloween, too. I know I asked you guys about costumes last week, but my next question is, do you like haunted houses?
I don't mind them, but, you know, I just never go to them. I'm not one that believes in a whole lot of that kind of stuff. So to me, it's like, you know, there's only one movie that's ever really scared me. The rest of them I just sort of laugh at.
Well, anybody who watches the show I Think You Should Leave knows about Club Haunted House. The Loyal Sons will get that. But, yeah, I'm not a big fan of haunted houses. I also don't like the haunted houses when you go in them, that where they'll come up to you and, like, they get right in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's just... You know, come on, what are we doing? Get lost to that.
How about the haunted car wash? Have you tried that?
Yeah, yeah, we have. I think it was the first year they did it. And I mistakenly took my son and daughter through the haunted car wash. And my daughter, who was 2 years younger, she was not pleased.
Ooh.
She's very unhappy with her dad at that time. So yeah, I think it's cool that they do that. They also do a good job washing cars. Not better than Anderson Detail.
Back in the 80s, one of my best friends in high school, his dad, and I don't think you get away with this today, his dad would take the chain off his chainsaw and hide behind a shrub. And when the kids would come to trick or treat, he'd come out with the chainsaw.
Oh, I bet they now got that, those kids running.
When that a real chainsaw running, that's scary.
Buddy, yeah, no thanks. No thanks.
Get lost to that.
Get lost to that forever. Absolutely.
All right, the Steelers face a big test this weekend, and Aaron Rodgers will square off against his old team. If Rodgers wins this week, he will be one of five quarterbacks all time to beat all 32 teams. But do we think he's going to do that? Before we get to that, how has Aaron Rodgers looked so far to you guys? Is he... exceeded your expectations, met your expectations, or underperformed your expectations? We're going to start with Dave Glass on this one.
I mean, I have to look, I pride myself on being as honest as I can, and he has exceeded my expectations, partly because he's still upright. I really didn't know if he'd make it this far. He's done a good job. He looks an awful lot to me like late career Ben Roethlisberger. He gets the ball out really quick. He doesn't move that well, although he's moved a couple times better than I thought. He's made a couple really bad, like that one interception last week was a really bad decision. And to his credit, he took ownership of that after the game. This game last week was absolutely not about the offense. It was all about the defense, in my opinion. Rodgers is going to make a few mistakes, but he gave them every chance.
Yeah, honestly, he's exceeded my expectations and then some. He was actually at the Penguins game with his line. Brett Kiesel was there, and they actually were kind of teasing him about his little fist pump touchdown celebration, which was cool. But yeah, everybody seems to be loving him down there. He's been a real leader.
Broderick Jones. I was going to say, Broderick Jones may have a different
Broderick
opinion.
Broderick Jones, for goodness sake, buddy, what are you doing? Save some of that for the sequel, pal. Like, come on. But I've actually been really pleased. He's been fun to watch. It's been a long time since we've seen a quarterback throw the ball like that in Pittsburgh. The last one obviously was Roethlisberger. It is unbelievable to me, some of those throws he's making. He makes it look effortless. The division is still up for grabs, I think. I mean, I know they're in the driver's seat, but, you know, if Burrow comes back towards the end of the season, Lamar Jackson's going to be coming back this week for what they're saying. He practiced today. So there's still a lot of football left to be played. Hopefully, to your point, Dave, I hope he stays upright. If he does, I think they win the division.
Well, yeah. I do think that as it gets colder, it's going to get harder on these older quarterbacks. I mean, speaking as one of the older people here, it does get harder as it gets colder.
Well, he's on pace for his best season since he won the MVP back in 2021. All right, let's get into it. The Packers, we're going to make our pick early today. The Packers are 4-1-1. And the Steelers are 4-2 at home. Packers favored by 3.5. And I believe it's your turn, Dave.
I just don't understand how Pittsburgh can possibly stop this offense. I mean, Green Bay has put up a lot of points against a lot of teams. I know Cleveland handled them, but it looks to me more like the Cleveland game when we played them was kind of the outlier in terms of holding that offense down. And it also looks like the outlier for Green Bay. I mean, that offense has all kinds of weapons. They're young. They've got Micah Parsons on defense. Look, Pittsburgh has the long week. That's the only thing that gives me any pause. You know, it's almost the opposite of the Thursday thing. Now, Pittsburgh's in a better position. They're at home. They normally excel in these, to your point. But I have to go with Green Bay. I mean, Pittsburgh, that defense, they gave up 470 yards to Joe freaking Flacco. It had been there 10 days. Days.
That was really hard to watch. I think they can do it, but they're not going to be able to turn the ball over like they did, and they're going to have to get. I mean, they're going to have to make stops when they need to. Green Bay is a much different type of team, much different offense than what Cincinnati had. There's no way that defense can play any worse. That's for sure. This isn't some sort of revenge game for Rodgers. They asked him that. I knew someone was going to ask him that. I mean, that's a stupid question. He hasn't been there for a long time. You know, the guy, he said, he's like, hey, I have a lot of friends in that organization. He says he's happy to be playing on Sunday night. So yeah, I'll be waiting all day for Sunday night, just like the rest of the United States, hopefully watching the Stairway win. Funny side thing about that, Green Bay actually has to wear their white uniforms. Mm-hmm. But it'd be the battle. Because the Steelers are wearing their 30s and 40s throwbacks. And it would be the battle of the yellow helmets. Didn't want that. So Green Bay is now wearing their alternate white uniforms.
So who are you picking?
I'm actually going to take Stairway.
Of course you are.
Yeah. Honestly,
first I thought he was going to take the Packers.
No. I really do think my gut tells me that was a low point for the Steelers because it was a trap game. All my buddies texting me saying the same thing. We all know how the Steelers play on Thursday nights. I think they come out and answer the bell. They play well on Sunday nights. You know, I forget who said it on The Fan the other day. I was down in Pittsburgh for work, and the guy said, you can't use the logic of they play poorly on Thursday nights and then not use the logic that they play well on Sunday nights. So that was a really excellent point.
And that's why I'm taking them too. And they're really good at bouncing back, and they're really good as home underdogs. Yeah. Mike Tomlin is 21-7-3 against the spread as a home underdog. I'm going to say Steelers win 24-23. What do you guys got for scores?
Well, I like Green Bay 30-17.
Yeah, I say Stairway wins 23-17.
Okay, very good. All right, let's finish this segment with a little what's more likely game. I'll give you two scenarios. You tell me which is more likely, and we'll alternate who goes first. We'll start with D on this one. The Colts get the one seed in the AFC, or the Eagles get the one seed in the NFC. What's more likely?
Ooh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Based on what the eyes tell me now, I say the Colts. I mean, the Colts right now are white hot. I actually pulled up before I came in here the odds. The odds changed here recently for the futures for Super Bowl betting. The Colts and the Eagles have the same. It's plus 1,000 for both of them to win the Super Bowl. By the way, you know who the odds on favorite now to win the Super Bowl is?
Chiefs.
Yeah. So I say Indianapolis.
I say Indy too. Just looking at their schedule, and I looked at it earlier today, there's only two games where I'm fairly certain they're going to go into it not favored. They're at the Chiefs, and that one is pretty obvious, and they're at the Seahawks, where that one, the Seahawks will probably be favored at home. Other than that, I think they're going to be favored in every single game they play from here on out. They've only lost one game. I mean, if they go 14-3 or 13-4, they're probably going to be the one seed because the Chiefs have already lost several games. The Chiefs right now are 4-3. So, right. I mean, if the Chiefs lose one more game, and especially if Indy wins that Chiefs game, I think they've got it.
Yep.
Indy, I'll tell you, Indy's offense looks kind of like, I mean, the Chiefs did. I mean, they're just an explosive.
They're doing everything.
It's
right
like
right
the, everything clicks. It's unbelievable. Like for people that haven't watched Indianapolis, it's not like there's a huge Indy fan base here. If you watch them, they're for real.
Well, we're going to find out. They come to Pittsburgh next week.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you who looks good is Tyler Warren.
Yeah, yes, he does, buddy. That makes me happy.
He's averaging 13 yards a catch. He's leading, got the most receiving yards for them. I looked that up. They really got a steal with him, and it makes me feel good that it wasn't just a college thing with him. He's the real deal.
Okay, what's more likely, Dave, the Steelers trade for offensive help or defensive help at the deadline?
Can I say none of the above? Because I don't think they're trading at anything. Mm. But if they're doing anything, I still think that they're going to try to find a wide receiver. I just don't think that the salaries on defense are almost unmovable. I just don't know what can you do there except a corner, maybe.
I'll tell you what. You sound just like Ben Roethlisberger, because he was saying the same thing on his podcast. They were asking him about what they can do to fix that defense. He goes, what are you going to do? He goes, you have so much money invested in that defense, and these guys expect to be on the field. He's like, there's nothing that's going to change. So offensively, I think that's going to be the answer. I still don't know why they don't have a legitimate number two. I mean, I don't understand what – they've got a quarterback that can throw the ball. I mean, get somebody in there. It's just crazy to me.
And I know it was attitude problems, and I was, you know, obviously we don't know everything that happened off the field, but moving Pickens looks really silly right now. He is making some big plays for Dallas.
He is.
Okay, let's move through these last few as quickly as we can. D, Joe Burrow returns to the field as the starter for the Bengals, or Shador Sanders takes over as the starter for the Browns?
Which Burrow one? For the Bengals. He's going to come back in week 15, they said. I say Burrow for the Bengals.
Burrow, not even a question.
Okay, the Jets pick first in the 2026 draft, or one of the teams from the rest of the field picks first, Dave?
Oh, man.
So I'll give you 31 teams.
Race to the bottom.
I'm going to say the field only because generally when I do field bets, you're better off taking the field. There are a couple other one-loss teams. Miami, I think, is in free fall. The Jets are going to win one by accident sooner or later.
Yeah, I think Miami's worse than the Jets, so I'm going to take the field. My pick would be Miami.
Okay, the Patriots win the AFC East, or the Ravens make the playoffs, D?
I say the Patriots win the AFC East.
This is Bills.
This is a do or die game this week for the Ravens with Jackson coming back. If they lose, that's it. It's season's over.
We've been saying that for a few weeks with
them. Circle the wagon.
Yeah. But I actually still believe, because their schedule is ridiculously easy from here on out, Baltimore's. I like Baltimore's chances.
Okay, last one. Aaron Glenn or Brian Daboll returns as the head coach of their New York football team next year?
It's got to be Daboll.
Yeah,
right?
Glenn, what are they even doing?
He may not make it through the season.
I mean, and Daboll right now has a shot. I mean, he's got a quarterback that's looking good, playing poised. See, I say Daboll.
Okay, it's time to get to a break. When we return, we'll talk to Penguins with Matt Venzel of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Stay with us on Under Reviews, sponsored by Petola Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles. Welcome back to Under Review. This segment is brought to you by Petula Eye Care. From eye exams to contacts and more, trust Dr. Dan and his team to get you right. Call 814-503-4100 to schedule an appointment. The Penguins improved to 5-2 on the season with a victory over Vancouver last night. Here to talk about it is Matt Venzel, who covers the team for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Matt, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back with you guys.
Hey, what has impressed you most about this team so far through seven games, Matt?
Honestly, I think it's the fact that it's been a collective effort. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint one thing. They've brought in some reclamation projects like Justin Brazeau, Parker Watherspoon, Anthony Mantha, Arturs, Shelobs. I mean, guys like that have come in. We've saw young players come in and make contributions. Yevgeny Malkin has gotten off to another good start. So there's a lot of things that are working well for the Penguins right now, and I guess that would speak to maybe the job that Kyle Dubas has done and also their new coach, Dan Muse. I know players have talked about how there's a different feel in the locker room, and that a lot of those players I just mentioned have something to play for or something to prove. And, you know, through 2 weeks, they've certainly exceeded expectations.
Well, you bring up Dan Muse, and for those who don't maybe follow the X's and O's of hockey, I know that feels different, but what is different under him versus Mike Sullivan?
Sure. I mean, you know, off the ice, there's you know, sort of the mantras he's been saying to them, that everyone's equal, there's no superstars, they're going to work together, everyone's gotten a clean slate, things like that. and that's resonated with a lot of players. In terms of on the ice, I think a couple of the big things we've seen is, or at least the one big thing is he's talked a lot right from the start of training camp about the players being closer together. And that shows up in a lot of different areas. I think one is the breakout. Often, you know, we saw under Mike Sullivan, honestly, we saw it. We got pretty used to it. He was here for a decade, but they would do a lot of those stretch passes along the boards, chip it into the other team's end and get in on the cycle. That was a big part of what they did. They were among the league's best teams generating chances off the cycle, but they were kind of spread out. And when the breakout wasn't working or guys like Ryan Graves were out there, it looked bad. There were turnovers and things like that. So we've seen the players closer together, more puck support, really in all three zones. And I think that's really helped them with their breakouts. And actually, they've been better in transition. I mean, in Mike Sullivan's final few years as coach, they were among the league's worst teams in terms of generating scoring chances off the rush. And last I checked, they were sixth in the league, and they were scoring a big goal every game that way. So we have seen them get out in transition more. And then defensively, too, the fact that they're tighter together, particularly in their puck pursuit, has paid off well. So, you know, Damiu said today that some games or some periods has looked better than others in terms of them sticking together defensively, but I think it has overall. They've been better defensively, and you know, out of seven games, they've probably had three games where they were very good defensively, including the season opener.
Well, I want to, you know, you're talking about the big picture, and I do want to talk about Carlson, because I've been very, very critical of his play the last couple of years, especially last year, where it just seemed like every game he was making a terrible defensive play. He looks like a different player. And I guess I'm asking you, because you're closer to it, is it this, just that he didn't listen to Sullivan, or is there some way that Muse has connected to him better? I mean, are you seeing what I'm seeing, that he's never going to be like an elite defender, but he is much better this year, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point for you to call him out as well. I mean, he's been arguably their best defender, not, you know, all-around defenseman, but defender. He's been really good. I don't know. He's kind of he's the type of player that leaves you scratching your head good ways and bad all the time. I mean, I think the prevailing thought for me is that he's very motivated to be on Team Sweden. You know, I know even some people back home are critical of him ahead of the Four Nations face-off. And then he went out and played well. But, you know, every country for the Olympics had to announce their, you know, initial six-man roster, and he wasn't on it. So I think we would all be surprised if he didn't end up representing Team Sweden. But he's certainly playing like someone who doesn't want to leave that up to chance. So he's been really good defensively. It'd still be great if he could hit the net. He's really good at just missing the net or drilling a teammate in front, but in terms of the defensive work, he's been very good. You're right.
Well, and you talk about, you know, he hasn't hit the net, but there's some other players that are hitting the net, like Brazo. I know he has five goals, and look, he's done a lot of great things, but obviously we both know 35% shooting percentage isn't going to hold up. So how much of this do you think is actually sustainable, especially on offense?
I've been very surprised by him, and it's not even the scoring, you're right. I mean, that there's a flukiness to it. I mean, you look at Mantha, he has three goals. Two of them are just complete weird goals or easy goals. But in terms of Brazo, yeah, it's not just the scoring. It's really his touch. I mean, the Penguins talked about this guy after they brought him in, saying, like, you know, he's a big guy with surprisingly good hands, and he can make plays in tight. And we're all like, yeah, sure. You know, look at his track record over his career, but it's really – you know, at least twice a game he's made a pass or a move where it's like, wow, where did this come from? I know he had one yesterday off a faceoff where I believe he set up Mantha in front. Mantha wasn't able to convert. So, you know, I'm not ready to say that he's suddenly going to be like a 30-goal, 60-point guy, but the Penguins appear to have something here. I mean, at minimum, he looks like he can be a reliable middle six winger. You know, there is a danger in drawing, you know, sweeping conclusions off a two-week sample size, but the things he's doing, they look legitimate, and he's a great story too. I mean, a couple of years ago, he was, you know, thinking about getting out of the game and getting his kinesiology degree, and then the Bruins called him, and he started off in the ECHL, and he climbed his way to the NHL. So, good story there. You always like to root for guys like that as well.
Hey, Matt, we were talking earlier about expectations for draft picks. I'm a big NBA fan. The NBA season started last night, and Cooper Flagg, I mean, I know he's the number one overall pick in the NBA, and Ben Kindle's 11th for the Penguins. He's having a nice start. What are your thoughts on him as the season progresses?
Yeah, he's been really impressive. I mean, I'll be honest, we saw him at like the prospect development camp in July, and he was fine. He didn't really like scream like this guy's going to be in the NHL. And even they send their top prospects up to Buffalo, a week before training camp, so mid-September, and he went up there, and guys like Tristan Bros kind of stood out more than him. I mean, you saw his vision, his playmaking flair. He's a very competitive kid, even though he's not the biggest kid. But still, I didn't go into camp thinking like, oh yeah, like this guy has a chance to make the team. But they kept giving him more and more games in preseason. He kept getting him better and better, and he made the team. And we'll see if he sticks around. But stands out, I think, above all else, is the passing and the skill that he has. And there was the big criticism of him heading into the draft and was his skating. And I don't think that's held him back at all. I mean, is he the fastest guy? No, but there really haven't been many times in the NHL games where I thought, okay, this is too fast for him. So I do know he put a lot of work into that area of his game in the summer. So, yeah, he's been really impressive. He hasn't looked out of place. Pretty mature kid, too, for his age. We'll see if he sticks around. The Penguins have to make a decision here very quickly. He's played 6 games, I think, off the top of my head, and the magic number there is once he plays 10, then he burns the first year of his entry-level contract. So that's kind of the Penguins need to make a decision here in the next week if they're going to send him back to junior or not. But he's been pretty good so far, and it's amazing that he's even made it a conversation, to be honest.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you as well, the guy that's really impressed me so far watching is Carlson. What's this coaching staff saying to him? I mean, his turnaround is unbelievable. He looks like a different player. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's the coaching staff. I'll be honest. I really think he's just motivated to make Team Sweden and to show them that he is capable of playing defense at a high level. I don't know. I mean, another factor too with him is obviously he was in trade rumors all summer and he was aware of them. And he had a full no trade clause, but there was kind of rumblings that he would maybe be open to going to a contender, and obviously a trade never happened. I don't know if it got close or whatever, but I do think there's probably a lot of contenders who would look at him and say, well, why would I want to, move heaven and earth to kind of get him and fit in his contract when he doesn't apparently look like a winning player? At least he didn't in his first 2 years in Pittsburgh. So maybe that's in the back of his mind as well. Who knows? I don't expect anything to happen with him during the season. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a matter of like internal motivation for him, not so much anything that the coaching staff is doing.
Last one for you, Matt. Do you think Gino can keep this going? I know he's on a pretty good pace right now, and I don't expect that to keep going. But, does he keep playing this well for a long stretch?
Sadly, I don't see it. I mean, let's not forget, he got off to a great start last year, too. I mean, I think he had 11 points through 5 games last year, and obviously that petered out. So we'll see. I mean, he's got better wingers, it appears. That's always kind of been the downside for him that he can't control is, Sid's gotten Raquel or Gensel or Russ, and he was sort of left often with the leftovers in the top 6. So I know Brazeau and Mantha aren't exactly all-stars, but they have fit well with him. So he looks motivated. I mean, he had a great kind of – he gave us a great interview before the year, talking about his future with the team and in the NHL. And, he made it clear he wants to stick around. He hopes to play well enough that the Penguins want to keep him. His contract expires after this year. But he also said, like, look, I don't want to, I don't want to take this year for granted. I've had 20 years or whatever it's been with Crosby and Letang, but, the time's going to come up and soon, whether it's this season or next. So I do think he is maybe motivated and trying to make the most of what could be his last dance there with Crosby and Letang. So he looks motivated. He's gotten good reviews defensively. But again, we've seen the ebbs and flows from him in past years, and he's an older player, and you're going to see some of that. So we will see. It will be a great story, and hopefully whatever happens at the end of this year, he's able to have some say in how the end of his Penguins tenure plays out. I mean, obviously it's a cold business and we'll see, but you would hope a guy like that, a Hall of Fame type player, a franchise icon, can kind of get, if not a storybook ending, a pretty good one.
Check out Matt's work on post-gazette.com or on X at Matt Wenzel. Under Review continues. Welcome right back to Under messages. Review. This segment is sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles. Too tired to cook on Friday? Head down to the Falls Creek Eagles for a delicious fish fry every week on Friday from 4 to 7 p.m. Week 8 of the NFL season is upon us, and what's the latest in the standings, Dave?
Well, we had a little shakeup. I had a pretty good week, so I am now a game ahead of Bob.
We see this every year.
And D, you are 2 games back of Bob.
Lagging back.
You're coming hard, too.
But the biggest upset, we have to talk about this. Before we get into this, we have to talk about this. Bob is sitting at home. Bob sees the Denver game. Bob is like, I have one survivor.
I really did. It's I turned over. It off. I thought it was over.
It is over. And my son, Darren, who, as we all know, is a huge Denver fan, is blowing up my phone with anger. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he's just like, blah, 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 blah. And then the worm starts to turn. And then he starts sending me videos of himself freaking out. Good, bad, good, bad. And then they made, you know, at the end of the game, he just went on this crazy rant. I'm like, dude, it's a game. Settle down. And then I looked it up, how rare it was for a team to come back from that.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason I bring this up, folks, is it saved us in Survivor. The Denver comeback / Giants collapse saved D and I and kept this going. So we're all still alive in Survivor.
That is surprising for sure.
We were playing a dangerous game.
Oh, my goodness. I gave up on it, honestly.
But we made it.
I actually think there's a pretty easy pick this week, too. We'll see.
Only for two of you.
Okay. All right.
I can't do it. All right. I know who you're talking about. I can't take them. I took them earlier.
Well, we'll see how it goes. I'll be interested to see who you pick. Cardinals, Lions, Jags, Raiders, Rams, Seahawks all on bye.
And that's
week.
The other problem. We have less teams to pick from for your Survivor this week. They're, you know, 6 teams are off. Yeah. So,
well, we got the Vikings 3-3 at the Chargers 4-3. Chargers favored by 2.5 on Thursday night, Dave.
Well, you know, if Minnesota was healthier at quarterback, I would be tempted because the Chargers are beat up. But honestly, I thought, you know, their quarterback looked terrible the other night. I just like the Chargers at home, and it's really because Minnesota's got their backup quarterback going.
Yeah, that's my thought process on it as well. Any of these games where it's kind of a push, you always pick the better quarterback. I'm going to go with Justin Herbert.
So, I'm taking the Vikings. Carson Wentz is 7-0 on Thursday night.
Oh, here we go.
Did
you watch him? He looked horrible.
Well, they still only lost by 5, right?
He looked horrible.
Yeah. Though. And the trenches favor the Vikings on both sides of the balls. The Chargers have not been the same since both of their tackles went down.
I agree with them. I don't think this is going to be a good game, really.
It's kind of sloppy. Those Thursday night games sometimes, it's like that you get them in the short rest. They are sloppy. I mean, the best part about Thursday nights is seeing if Al Michaels can make it
He's been pretty good, actually.
You're right. Yeah. He's been better than he was last year. Last year, I don't know what was going on with him.
No, he was real bad.
Let's be fair. He is getting up there. Yeah. So.
Dolphins 1-6 at the Falcons 3-3. Falcons favored by 7.5, D.
Oh, give me the Falcons if they were favored by 100. I'm taking the Falcons. The Dolphins are a hot mess. So give me the Falcons.
I'm taking the Falcons, too. But I got to say, Michael Penix really disappointed me last week.
He was bad.
He looked really bad. And he just, how many balls did he short hop to his receivers?
It was weird, you know, because he had looked a lot better than that. And that's why I'm really interested in this game, because Miami is just a tire fire. This is a game Atlanta has to have. You know, you beat Buffalo, and then you go lay an egg this week. They did. They laid a pretty bad egg. This is a game you got to come back. If you're a good team or even a decent team, this is one you got to win. And because I can't take the team I want to take later, they're my lock.
Oh, nice.
Atlanta is my lock this week. So I'm taking them both ways with the points and as the lock.
I like it. Jets 0-7 at the Bengals 3-4. The Bengals are favored by 5.5. And don't look now, but if the Bengals win this game, they're only a half a game back from the Steelers. Give me the Bengals. Joe Flacco looked like Joe Burrow last week.
Yes, he did. He looked incredible.
This screams trap game to me. This screams trap
it's
game
the
because
Jets.
The Jets are going to win one sooner or later. Even though since he beat us, they could have lost that game. I mean, their defense is horrible, horrible, horrible. The problem is the Jets. This is like the movable object, you know, that whole thing. And I don't, can the Jets get to 250 yards against this defense? But I'm going to take Cincy grudgingly.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cincy simply because of the weapons they have on offense. I mean, they just have better players on the offensive side of the ball. Flacco looked great. He gets the ball out quick. He's got two of the best receivers in football to throw to. So yeah, give me Cincy.
I think you could throw for 250 with those two.
Oh my God. I mean, Chase is, come on. It's just, he's incredible.
Browns 2-5 at the Patriots 5-2. Patriots favored by 6.5.
It's too many points. I'm taking Cleveland just because of the defense and because I think they have found something with Gabriel on offense. Look, I know it was just Miami, but I didn't think they could score 30 points on anybody. So I'm taking Cleveland.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cleveland as well just because of that defense. It's too many points. I mean, so yeah.
Ooh, I have the Patriots down. I'm going to take the Patriots here. The Browns defense is tough, but the Patriots run defense is good. And if the Browns can't run the ball, how do they score points?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yep. Giants 2-5 at the Eagles 5-2. This one goes to D. Eagles
7.5.
By 7.5. Two. Yes.
Ooh. You know what? I think Philadelphia right now is kind of found it. I think New York beating them was kind of a shock. I don't think Philadelphia allows that to happen again. That said, I'm taking the Giants because that's too many points.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Giants too, even though the Giants have lost 12 straight at Philadelphia.
The big question for me is the Giants had to think they had that game in the bag this weekend. That was a big one on the road against maybe the best defense in the league, and they blew it.
Yeah.
How do they react? I don't know. But I do know one thing. They have found their quarterback in Dart. It sure looks to me like that guy's the real deal, and I think he's enough to keep it close. I do think Philly wins, but I'm going to go with you guys and take the Giants.
Yeah,
with the points.
Yeah, I think Philly wins the game, absolutely. But, I mean, 7.5, so
in
much.
In a division game.
In a division game, that's a lot.
Yeah. Bills 4-2 at the Panthers 4-3. This one goes to me. Bills favored by 7.5. The Panthers are red hot. They've won 3 in a row, but Bryce Young's banged up, and Josh Allen has never lost off a bye and has never lost 3 consecutive games. So give me the Bills.
This is the most interesting game, I think, for Buffalo in like 3 years.
Wow.
Because they've been on cruise control in the regular season. Let's face it. When's the last time they actually faced true regular season adversity? They lose this game. They well might lose the division. I'm serious.
Yeah.
So this is one of the, and it's on the road. They're a big favorite. I'm like you. I think if they're ever going to put up a Bills performance, it's here. So I'm also taking Buffalo.
Yeah, it's funny. Bills are going to win this, but I'm taking the Panthers.
Oh, he's back on.
I wanted to make
just
game
when he
happy.
Thought he was out.
I
they
knew
pull
it.
Me
I knew he'd
in.
Be pumped. But that's just it's a lot. And honestly, Buffalo of any team this season, I think Buffalo has been the biggest disappointment. I don't know what to make of that team.
Maybe need a receiver.
Yeah.
Somebody that can stretch the field a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're relying on Allen to do literally everything. But yeah, Buffalo's going to win this game, but give me Carolina to cover that. Let's go.
Okay, Bears 4-2 at the Ravens 1-5. Ravens favored by 6.5, Dave.
This is the weirdest line of the week. The weirdest line. Baltimore is getting crunched by everyone. Everyone. And Chicago's look pretty good. And somehow they're a touchdown favorite, essentially. And we don't even know if Jackson's going to play. I saw where today, yeah, he was a limited participant, and it said on ESPN, behind the other two quarterbacks. Yeah. If he does play, can he move? And if he can't move, is he really that good? I'm taking Chicago. 6.5 is too many.
Yeah, I mean, I think Baltimore wins this game, but I'll take Chicago with
I see the pattern. We're taking way too many road teams here.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bears, too.
Yeah.
You're all taking the Bears?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
I mean, look. Again, the spread's going to have to change if they find out Jackson comes
in
this game.
But how does it change? I mean, the 6.5's already a lot.
6.5's too many.
Okay, 49ers 5-2 at the Texans 2-4. Texans are favored in this one by 1.5.
That's odd. That's really odd.
Yeah, I think the wrong team's
favored. Give me San Fran. I mean, they're just finding ways to win. So, yeah, give me San Fran.
Me too. CMC looks really good too.
Boy, he was running hard. My gosh, he looks completely healthy. So, yeah, this was a weird line.
I mean, honestly, my thought when I was watching them beat up another team that they had no business beating up is that – if you want to look at a team that really says the standard is the standard, it's them. How many guys are they missing? Both their all their wideouts, quarterbacks, second quarterbacks beat up, their best two linebackers, and yet they just keep rolling. And Houston, just doesn't look any good at all. So I, here again, this is five straight road teams, but I'm going to have to take them.
Buccaneers 5-2 at the Saints 1-6. The Bucs are favored by 6.5. It's a short turnaround for the Bucs. Mike Evans is gone. It's a division opponent. I'm going to take the Saints in this one to cover the spread.
I'm going to take the Bucs.
Of course you are.
Yeah, but you know it's funny. They actually showed metrics with Evans out of the game and metrics in the game, and the Bucs offensively are better with Evans out of the game, which is hard to believe.
I think that's because he locks on to him too much when he's in the game. But I share all the same concerns about Tampa, but New Orleans is horrible. Horrible. I just can't
see.
They've
been fairly competitive.
I just can't see them sticking with Tampa. I think Tampa wins this one pretty handily.
Cowboys 3-3-1 at the Broncos 5-2. Broncos favored by 3.5. This is a tough one, Dave.
This is, yeah. I don't even know what to make of this because here's what I know. Dallas can score on anybody, all right? You can say whatever you want about the Cowboys, and I don't like them, and I don't like Jerry Jones. That offense is legitimately good. If you can't score points, you get blown out of the water. You need to get to 30 to beat them. Can Denver get to 30? Mm. I mean, I don't know. And Denver scared me this week because they really looked bad until that fourth quarter. Now, and the other thing Darren was telling me, and of course he watches these games closely, is why don't they unleash Bo Nix? Bo Nix, he can throw better than this. And then in the fourth quarter, they unleashed him. Now, do they continue to unleash him? I don't know. On the other hand, I just really like that home field. And I've taken too many. This is really stupid, but I've taken too many road teams. I'm going to have to take Denver.
I'm going to take Dallas. Give me those 3.5 because
now you guys are believers after last week.
Yeah, but Dallas, I'll tell you, offensively, they're as good as anybody in the NFL.
That game was over at the half.
Yeah. So, yeah, give me Dallas 3.5. I'll take Dallas.
Yeah, give me Dallas, too. They actually had a chart where they chart all the teams and their offensive, you know, how many yards per game they're putting up. The Cowboys by far are the best team. They're way in the top right-hand corner of that chart. And then whoever they play is the next best team in the chart. So
I don't know what the over-under is, but I would definitely take the over.
Yep.
Let's see. The over the is 50.5.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, if it was below 60, I think I'd take the over.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So we got the Titans 1-6 at the Colts 6-1.
14.5 points, boys.
14.5.
Anybody
can
take this 14.5?
No, I'm not taking 14. There's no way the Titans win this game, but I'm taking the Titans because 14.5. There's no 14.5 in the NFL. Is so much. I mean, yeah, so I'll take the Titans.
I'm going to take the Colts. They're averaging 33.1 points per game, and I've taken the Titans before, and they've made me look bad.
Yeah, I was going to say, he is completely off the Titans now because he's lost three or four games this year.
I'd be beating Dave if I didn't like the Titans.
It's so many points. It's so many points, but
this is my lock.
I knew
sorry.
That.
Oh, mine too. 100%.
We knew this, guys. Yeah, when I looked at it, I can't take them. So
it took me 1 second to pick the lock.
Yes. So both of you. So I should be rooting for Tennessee, but I can't even do it. And I'm taking Indy too, because I honestly think Tennessee can't stop them. They didn't stop them last time. Didn't they put 40 points up on them, I think?
But you're taking the Titans?
No. I'm taking Indy.
The Colts. Okay.
Because that was in Tennessee.
I'm going to get a game back this week, boys.
Go.
Let's go.
All right.
Okay. Last one, Commanders 3-4 at the Chiefs 4-3. Chiefs favored by 9.5.
And he's not playing.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden Daniels is out.
Yes.
So
yeah. Chiefs all day.
That spread's probably gone up.
Yeah,
since,
Chiefs
since
all day.
Yeah,
all
Chiefs
day.
All day.
They're the hottest team in the NFL right now.
Pains
by
me
far.
To say it.
Yeah, I think that 9.5 is a lot, but I don't see how Washington can stay with them.
No.
Ugh. All right, that'll do it for our weekly picks. When we return, we'll touch on some quick hitters. You're listening to Under Review, sponsored by the Falls Creek Eagles on Connect FM. Welcome back to Under Review, sponsored by Fetula Eye Care and the Falls Creek Eagles. It's been a good show, guys, but we got some other good topics to hit up here, some quick hitters. We can kind of spend a little bit more time on these first couple. The World Series begins on Friday. The Dodgers travel to Toronto. If the Dodgers win, they will be the first repeat champion since the Yankees in 99 and 2000. And it's Toronto's first time back since 1993. So who are you guys rooting for first?
If anybody here is rooting for the Dodgers, I'll be shocked.
Well, we already heard D's. He's for Toronto.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of getting to the point with the Dodgers where it's like rooting for either the Yankees or the IRS. So,
and on it right now, the Dodgers are what the people think the Yankees are, but they're worse. I mean, they've completely changed the salary structure and the way, you know, these superstar players are paid.
Until they have an owner that's a jerk like Steinbrenner, they're not worse, but they're right there with them. How's that?
But, you know, what's really wild, though, is this. Hey, any of these owners can go for it.
Right? I know.
They
they're
can
all
spend their money. They're all billionaires.
Just like Toronto this year.
Well, and that's why, you know, given the choice, honestly, as much as I don't like Steinbrenner, and he did a lot of dirty stuff, and he was suspended and did all stuff. I think I'd rather have him as an owner than Nutting, because at least Steinbrenner wanted to win.
Yeah.
And it's just so frustrating to have an owner that doesn't want to win. But that, I don't want to go down that road.
Well, who wins this? How many games?
Let me start by saying, in a short series, anything is possible. I mean, baseball, the Pirates swept the Dodgers at one point this year. So anything, it's some we've seen this, smaller, you know, bottom of the lineup hitters go crazy for a couple weeks. You get a bullpen guy who has the week of his life. Having said that, I would be shocked if the Toronto won this thing, as much as I'm rooting for them, because the Dodgers, when healthy, have a ridiculous rotation. And it's going to be really hard for Toronto won because they were just mashing the ball and putting up 6, 7, 8 runs a game until the last one. But even at that, a big late home run, Toronto has to get to that bullpen. But I Toronto's bullpen is no great shakes, and their rotation is actually poor. So I really like, unfortunately, the Dodgers to win in 5 or 6. I'll say 6 as my official.
Yeah, I mean, they're favored in every single game. They're favored on Friday as well. Otani's the favorite to win the MVP. By the way, did you guys watch Otani's performance?
I saw he had 3 home runs in the one game. 10 strikeouts.
Six shutouts, yep. 10 strikeouts.
It was
unprecedented.
It was the single best performance. And I sent a text to my father that when he hit the second home run. And I said, we're watching the single best game of all. And then he hit another one.
Yeah. And up to that point, he had struggled, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's what the great ones do, man.
I've never seen anything like that in my life.
He is the Mario Lemieux of baseball.
Yeah.
Mario, every game you went, you might see him score 5 goals or, you know,
something
whatever.
Magical was
going
to happen.
And with Otani, he's that guy. It's like any given moment, you're going to see something you've never seen before. He's amazing.
Yeah, I really don't see – Lonnie was saying our baseball takes were terrible, which I – you know what? I actually kind of agree with him. We had some terrible takes about the Blue Jays, but they're there. I just don't see any way that they beat this team.
How many games?
I say 5. I mean, honestly, the starting pitching – those guys are stretching them out now. They're gonna throw them till their arms wear out because it's the end of the season. I know Toronto can hit. They had the most hits of any team in baseball this year. I know they can hit. But you know what? Like Dave just said here a second ago, if Toronto can't get to that bullpen, this series is over before it starts.
Yep.
Well, the Dodgers are 9-1 this postseason, so they're on fire.
They really
and fully
are.
Rested right now.
It's amazing.
The NBA season tipped off last night, so I've got a couple questions here for D. And Dave, you can chime in if you want to. Oklahoma City won its first title last year. They're very young. They only seem to be getting better. Which team is the greatest threat to stop them this year?
Well, in the East, it's the Knicks and the Cavs and everything else. In the West, I mean, there's a lot of really good-looking teams. Houston looked really good last night. I mean, they stayed with the champs, double overtime. Durant fit well in their system. They play really good defense. You know, Denver's always knocking at the door. They play really well. The Lakers, when LeBron gets back and healthy, they're always going to be a contender.
How about the Mavs?
The Mavs as well. I don't think they're quite there yet. The Mavs will make some noise, but the Mavs are not OKC. And I don't think the Mavs right now are Houston. Houston is a better team all around, I think, than Dallas. We were talking about Cooper Flagg. I'm really excited to see him. He's going to be a complimentary piece there. I mean, they have Anthony Davis, and obviously Kyrie. Those two are going to be the centerpieces of that offense. So I think it's a really nice landing spot for him to start his NBA career. In the East, tonight it's going to be awesome. Knicks, Cavs. Really excited about that.
Right off the bat. Those are the two favorites out East, right?
Two favorites, absolutely. The Cavs, if they can – I think what they need to do is not focus so much on these meaningless win streaks during the regular season. They need to start resting guys like
Load
Mobley.
Management.
Yeah, they need to start resting guys like Mobley, even though he's still relatively young, and Jared Allen, guys like that. They had a couple really nice offseason acquisitions, but the Knicks are right there with them. The Pistons are coming. They're a really fun team to watch.
That's who Lonnie likes.
Yeah, that's who Lonnie likes. They're a fun team to watch. I'm pumped the NBA is back. Can you tell?
Yeah, D's got his Cavs.
Yeah, he's on head tonight. To toe Cavs.
Buddy, I love it. I'm ready. It's
you could have been Cavs Frog for Halloween.
Buddy, I'm gonna tell you know what? I may be Cavs Frog for Halloween. I still have Cavs Frog. Cavs Frog big time just though. I was so disappointed. Cavs Frog was like Cavs Frog, get lost to Cavs Frog, by the way. I was so mad. They were asking, like, the person was asking, like, you know, if there was going to be compensation to come on this. Like, get out of here with that. Compensation? There's some Hershey bars out in the studio you can have.
You can have what we have.
That's right.
And you'll like it.
That's right.
All right. Sidney Crosby passed Mario Lemieux for most points in Penguins history. Now sits at seventh all time. Nobody's going to catch Wayne Gretzky, but he needs 286 points to jump all the way up to second past Mark Messier. Does he reach that milestone before he calls it quits, Dave?
Well, let's start with this is regular season and postseason points. So that's and so part of that is opportunity, right? Teams, guys that play on bad teams aren't going to be able to get the playoff numbers. But I still, even with that, I want to point out that you sent us the top eight. Mario is now eighth. Four out of the top eight had a major part of their career with Pittsburgh. That's amazing, folks. We are so spoiled here that the athletes we've had. Now, having said that, he's never going to catch Messier. That's too many points. He's too old. I don't think it's going to happen. I think he ends up – he can get to fourth, I think, but that's probably – he's going to have a hard time even catching Jágr.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. After looking at what you sent, it's just the math isn't mathing. There's just no way.
Well, he's a point per game player.
But it's not going to last much longer.
Well, if he can continue that pace for a couple more years and he plays years beyond
if he,
that.
If he does it even this year, it's never happened. If he does it the year after, it's really never happened to do a point per game. At some point, if he's a 60-point per season player, he's still a really good player, but you're asking an awful lot to do that at 41, Bob.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say he gets there. Going to say he does. He's going to play long enough to do it. Penn State isn't the only college team making a coaching change. The Florida Gators fired Billy Napier over the weekend. If you are a coach in need of a job, which program is more appealing to you, D, Florida or Penn State? We know who you would pick.
Well, I got to be honest with you. Right now, Penn State has, you know, all the NIL money, but Florida has it too. But I will say this, if you're a coach, if you're looking at the way the Big Ten is constituted versus what the SEC is, the opportunity, Ohio State's always going to be there. But if you're coming into Penn State versus Florida, you have a much better chance to win a chip, you know, in the Big Ten as you do the SEC. You just do. The problem is Ohio State. Very disappointed with their coaching search so far, the rumors with Matt Rhule. I don't think he's the guy. For goodness sake, he lost to Minnesota. He got boat raced out there. Florida, I mean, they've won a couple national titles here recently, you know, in recent memory. I don't know.
It's not quite as recent as you think.
Well,
but yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean,
we're getting that's a
but Penn State though 86, and they should have won one in 94. Definitely. Obviously, Tom Osborne victory lap. You know, Nebraska, but obviously, I'm going to say Penn State, but Florida's right there too. That's a marquee program.
I agree, only because the SEC they kind of all eat their own, and there's so many. There's more big players in the SEC. Penn State, you know, whatever you want to say about Franklin, he pushed them. They got the NIL, they got the facilities, they have the cupcake schedule, so all you have to win is like one or two big games a year and you're probably going to go 11-1 or 12-0. All right, but you know what, if he goes to Florida, you think there's less pressure? I don't know. I think Penn State is still the better opportunity, but I'll say this, the next coach is going to have a lot of pressure, because if the next coach fails, Penn State may start to really go down.
They're going
to
do the Nebraska thing.
Understand, you know, with Cinetti, what he's done at Indiana, you know, the rest of the Big Ten is going to start catching up. The NIL is going to be something of an equalizer, so you got to make your hay.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, next year, whoever comes in and coaches Penn State has arguably the easiest schedule of their schedule next year is disgusting.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
I hate it.
I mean, I think any of us could coach that team next year easily get 9 wins. It's honestly,
I'll say 8 because we're not that good.
But it's very frustrating right now to be a Penn State fan. So many expectations this season. But look at Florida, the same thing. College football is in a weird spot right now. These coaches, you know, it's not what it used to be. You're never going to have a guy like Saban again. You just won't. You're never going to have a, you know, Bobby Bowden. You're never, these guys are, they're relics of a bygone age. There's so much pressure on these guys to win a title. And look who's won titles. You've got three coaches that have won titles that are active. You've got Kirby Smart, you've got Dabo, and Ryan calling. Day, and that's it. Yeah. That's it. So Penn Staters, it's not that easy to win a chip.
No, it's not. And I know we have to finish up, but I saw a quote today that really stuck with me, and it said that NFL fans want greatness and college football fans want chaos. And boy, I think that just nailed it.
Yeah, for sure.
A minute or so till we get lost. The Steelers are going to wear their 1933 throwback uniforms against the Packers this weekend. Are you guys a fan of those?
I am, only because I bought my son one and he likes it. He thinks it's super cool. I don't like the beige pants. I mean, I get it. It's era specific and accurate. Remember those Packers uniforms they had with the weird beige pants?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of the pants. The jersey's okay. I mean, I get what it's trying to honor.
Blind Melon called. They want that back. It's horrible. Just get lost to that whole thing and just put the real. I'm so tired of all these uniforms.
I think. Well, do you like Tampa Bay's creamsicles or New England's classic red ones?
Oh, the creamsicle, baby. Yeah, buddy.
I'm surprised you don't have one of those yet.
Well, buddy, I need to order one. I actually, this is true. I went on. I'm real particular about merch purchases, and it's got to be authentic. Like, it's got to be the actual jersey, and they sell out. Like, wow. It's crazy. Like the new Penguins jersey, right?
Yeah.
Dude, it's gone. It's sold out. Like, you cannot
get. Well, that's good. Then I don't have to worry about getting one.
Yeah.
I didn't want one anyway.
You cannot get the size I need in a Crosby authentic Penguins jersey or a Baker authentic creamsicle.
Well, that sounds like an early get lost.
Yeah.
What do you got, D?
Get lost to that. Absolutely. You know, come on, fanatics. You know, you got people that are really interested in buying your product. Get lost to these shortages in stock.
I'm going to say get lost to the intentional walk, especially the intentional walk with nobody on, or intentionally walking somebody to first when there's nobody out. You know,
I'd be intentionally walking Ohtani, I think.
You know what, now, Bob, I don't have time to get into this, but it's always, always, always the wrong move. Because
you're Barry Bonds, remember that whole year?
And listen.
We'll save it for another day. I'm going to say hashtag get lost to the 6'7 phenomenon going on right now.
6'7. Oh,
well, you don't want to know. If you teach middle school, you would know all about it, Dave.
I coached some of those kids over there in that middle school, and I swear to God, every single it's like they're teeing it up.
6'7 on the scoreboard.
Oh, my. They lose their minds.
Guys, I feel really old right now because I have no idea what you're talking about.
You need to watch the South Park episode about it. It's an incredible send-up. They tie in The Exorcist with Linda Blair. It's a phenomenal episode.
We got to go. We'll catch you next week.